Okay, Acts 1:8 is my introductory scripture here, and we'll just start on verse 8. But you will receive power, this is Jesus talking, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Cedar Rapids, Chicago, Iowa, Indonesia, and the very ends of the earth. And you are going to tell people who you don't like, those maybe you're prejudiced against or whatever, you want to be my witnesses. I'm giving you this opportunity to be my witnesses across the street and around the world. And my little add-on application of this, it's like these are the last words Christ said before he left. And then when it snows in Chicago, where I grew up, my dad would be leaving for work, and he would say, Jimmy, I want you to shovel the sidewalks and the driveway. And we lived on a corner, so that's a big job. And when I come home, I'm hoping you did your job. And that's an exact picture to me of what Christ is saying here. He's leaving. He's already died, buried, rose again, walked the earth for 40 days. And he says, now listen, guys, I'm going to leave now. But while I'm gone, here's what I want you to do. Daddy lets us help, doesn't he? And so, as Jesus said, that the very last words he says on earth, and he leaves, he sends into heaven. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, I'm always just putting myself in the story and just thinking of the disciples sitting there going like, they're staring at heaven. Where'd he go? He's just literally gone. And they're all standing there. And so while they are standing there, gazing into heaven, two men in white robes said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was, this is so emotional for me, this Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will come in the same way. The same way you saw him leave, he's coming back. Isn't that awesome, guys? He's coming back. Thank you. He is coming back. Died, buried, rose again, said Jimmy, shovel the sidewalks, and I'll be back to see how you did. Jesus Christ, hey, guys, be my witnesses, wherever. And then, boom, he's gone, and he's coming back. Isn't that awesome? And it shouldn't be guilt. It's like, Daddy's coming home, and I want to sit there and say, yep, Dad pulls up in the drive, everything's shoveled. It's like, thank you. I did it because I want to please my Father. You know, we want to be witnesses to please our Daddy. And my example of that is Daddy lets us help. I have some degrees and an MDiv, things I want to impress you with, and my track record of serving God, me, and it's like, that's not it at all. Daddy lets me help, you know? That's really the core of loving God and making it our goal to please him, and he lets us in on what he's doing. He says to Peter, he says, you're the rock, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We get to help, guys, you know? The church will be built. It will be completed when the last person comes to know Christ as he chose it. Bam, game over. It's done. It will get done. Do you want to be in on it? That's the thing. I know so many of you guys are in on it. Some of you might be sitting on the bench, looking at people who are in on it. Some of you may not even know Jesus Christ and don't even know what I'm talking about today. But the fact is, God wants us to come to him as a person and be in on what he's doing. So let's take a look at Matthew 28. That's my main scripture for today. I keep trying to stick with my outline I gave you guys. Who's following this? Is anybody going to? Okay, good. Well, I better try to stick with it. I didn't do good last service. The title of my message is Come and See, Go and Tell. Come and see what? Come and see who? Go and tell what? Go and tell this message to who? And my main point I love to leave any time before the Lord is, who cares? Really, who cares what God wants? So I'll try to stick with this a little bit. And if I'm missing something, raise your hand or yell at me so that I can stay on the track here a little bit. Okay, Matthew 28, we're going to start in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the next day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. I love this part, and I like to pause and think about it. It's funny, I just said this last hour, so it's a rerun to me, and I'm already getting bored with myself, you know. Anyway, the women are going early to the tomb. Where were the men? Who can tell me where the men were? I got some good answers last time. Where? They were golfing. I bet they were. They were golfing. One little guy over here, David, said they were in the bathroom. Where were the men? They what? Oh, the women were making their breakfast. Okay. Where were these guys? They were all scared, weren't they? They just saw their leader get crucified. And they're sitting there going, No, really, my version says they were in the man cave watching the ball game. Wherever they were, they weren't there. That's the point. These ladies had the faithfulness to step out in fear. Nobody knew what was going on here. There was Jesus died. And these ladies, thank God for women. I like to do a commercial and thank all you women for serving God. I mean that. So often women are the faithful ones, moved because they got a heart, they love God, and they know they're loved by God. And women so often are the faithful ones to step out and do the hard thing. Thank you, women. I want to thank you guys. It's awesome. I'm going to show you a picture later of some of the recent missionaries we trained who are all over the world. And you can't see it closely, but there's many single women in there. Very few single guys. Of course, a lot of the guys and women meet at our campus and they get married. Our campus is full of young marrieds, and almost everybody's pregnant there except for the men. Sometimes in chapel, I go, who's not pregnant in here? Raise your hand, because there's a lot of life going on our campus. But let's get back on the track here, Jim. Okay, thank God for women. That's what I'm trying to say here. Thank you, ladies. So Mary Magdalene and another Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen." Isn't that awesome, guys? That's what it's all about. Died, buried, rose for our sins, and he's not here, he's risen. He's the working model, you might say. He's the first fruits. The older I get, I'm turning into a hanky preacher. Only down south they go like, "And Jesus," and they're wiping the sweat off their face. I don't mean that, but I just get teared up just thinking about what he's done for us, you know. Oh, man. He's risen, guys. We have a risen Savior. We're not worshiping some bones in some tomb somewhere, or he's not hanging on the cross having a bad day. He's risen from the dead. Take that for yourselves, you know. Make that real, that no matter how life is served to us and how we are doing our journey on earth, we've got eternity with him face to face, don't we, guys? That's the hope we have. We all have to die of something, right? We all pray for each other to get over our diseases and safety in the car, and we're flying on a plane. I love it. We were going over to Indonesia. My kids are real little. I said, "Who wants to play for a safe journey?" Amber says, "I will. God, please don't let this plane crash. Amen." You know, isn't that what we really want? We want longevity. We want our health. For what? So that we can serve him. But we're all going to die someday. But our Savior has risen from the dead, and so will we, right? Forever with them face to face. Remind yourself of that. This whole life is like an overnight stay in a motel room compared to eternity with heaven. We're just on the road. This is a journey. Eternity. He has risen. Greatest words, source of our hope. He has risen, just as he said. And here's where I get the title of my sermon. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. So in our outline, come and see what? Like, let's revisit the fact that it's an empty tomb. Let's revisit, what do we see what? We see an empty tomb, and we know the whole backstory to that. Jesus, born of a virgin, suffered and died and paid for our sins, came back from the dead. Come and see what? And I was thinking of that. Some of you people in here may not even know Jesus Christ. This has got to be a personal thing. Will you come and realize that he died for you? He died for whoever believes in him. but he died because you're in big trouble because of your sins. That's what you want to come and see and believe, that his death pays for your sins. You can never be good enough. Come and see that again. You who have known Christ, you, my brothers and sisters, we are in the family of God. We are born again spiritually. We are brothers and sisters in the family. But sometime in the family, you start thinking about all the issues of your siblings. I like to ask you guys again, any of you siblings of mine in here, do any of you guys have issues? Well, there's a few of you, thank you. You know, when you really know the family business, there's all kinds of issues, aren't there? But you know what? We're the family. Let's come and see what? Come and see the risen Lord. He is our identity. We are Christians. We are in Christ. That's our identity. Let's come and see the empty grave again. That's where our hope is from. It's right there because of him coming back from the dead, paying for our sins. That's what makes us who we are. That's our identity. Come and see. See what? It's really, I'd like to say, see who? The living person of Jesus Christ, not religion. That's a big, big issue in America. We're going to get into that more. And around the world, there's so many religions that camouflage the simple gospel. My ADD gospel is God's good, you're bad, Jesus died to pay for your sins. Do you believe it or reject it? That's the ADD gospel. See, it only took about 10 seconds. But that's the core of who we are and what we believe. The hope of the resurrected Lord for every single one of us. We get to have that power of the Holy Spirit and his life in us, where people see him in our lives. Isn't that wonderful, guys? As we hang out with him, we become more like him. And as we hang out with him, people see the Lord Jesus in our life. They see the resemblance of the Father in us. Come and see. And then go quickly and tell. Get the pattern? Come and see, go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. That's the good news. Back from the dead. And behold, he was going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb. My loose version here is very loose. It says they departed quickly, but the whole town was having a garage sale. So they had to stop at least a few garage sales on the way home. No, it's really not in here. Okay. They went quickly, guys. They got a message, and they were told to go and tell, so they did. They did it with haste, focus, just like for us, guys. Haste, focus. We've got a message that Christ has told us to go and tell this message. And the women did not get sidetracked. They went directly to the disciples, and they ran. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. What I love about this part is I was just asking the Holy Spirit to run me through the rollers of what are you trying to say here to us. The fact, I just thank God that these words are in here. They obeyed with fear and great joy. That's us, guys. This is a fearful thing to pass on the gospel, to disciple people, to start churches, to even impact anybody's life for any measure at all with the gospel. There is great fear in it. And I always get very fearful anytime I'm going to do anything for God that involves people, because people's who he died for. And whether you're in Indonesia or you're in Cedar Rapids, there is a great amount of fear that I think is normal. And I'm glad to just share that with you, that I get scared, I get nervous every single time that I'm going to do something about spreading the word of God. And one of the things we do is, I'm going to skip that whole thing, but I'm going to jail every week, and Connie goes to a different jail every week, and we take students with us to help train them in their ability to share the gospel in a relevant way, their ability to communicate well. Well, all summer, the students are gone, and I've been doing double duty this summer, going to a jail. And every time I go there, guys, there's a certain spot. I get in this elevator. If you went through all those big doors, I get in this elevator. And right there, I'm like shaking, guys. I'm leaning on, I got my guitar and my Bible, and I'm scared. I really am. And I'm not scared I'm going to get beat up. I more feel like I'm going right into the dungeon of darkness, you know, and I feel so alone, you know, that I'm just going into these guys, and I'm doing hand-to-hand combat, only the Holy Spirit's doing it, that this is a war, this is a battle, and I'm scared, guys, and I get really nervous, and I get really thirsty when I'm nervous, when the students are with me and they're saying, Jim, how come you're drinking so much water? You look so smooth and everything. I said, no, I'm scared to death, man, because we're advancing the gospel into a dark area. It's okay to be scared and be fearful, but it shouldn't stop us. Because the women, the great emotion was the joy that Jesus is alive and he gave us something to do, and the joy was bigger than the fear. Isn't that awesome, guys? And that's us. It's okay to be fearful and scared and like, oh, I'm going to sound like a nerd if I talk about Jesus to all the cool people. It's like, so what? Let the joy overwhelm the fear, the joy of the fact that he's our Father. We've got eternity, and Daddy lets us help. Like I said, we've got a small part of building the universal church of Jesus Christ, don't we, guys? We have a part, and the joy can be greater than the fear. And as I often think about all my insecurities and all my fears and what an idiot I am and blah, 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 I think, you know what? I want to be known as the idiot who talks about Christ, not just the plain old idiot. You know, I want to have some identity of why I'm so weird. It's because of Jesus Christ. And I'd rather be known as God's person rather than whatever else. And so when you think about your identity and your insecurities and your fears, let's be known as his kids, right, guys? Let's make that our identity. And this is our family. Like I said, with and without all the issues, we're the family, you know? And he's our Father. And you can pick your nose, but you can't pick the family, you know? And we're the family, right? You can't pick who your siblings are. You're sitting right next to them, right here. This is the family of Christ because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're born again spiritually into the family. So as they moved ahead with fear, I was thinking about this, that they went and did what they were told to do because they had a personal testimony, empty grave. But as they were going, verse 8, and beheld, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his seat and worshiped them. Do you think it was just accidental that Jesus just happened to be right where they were running? Well, he's God. He's pretty smart, you know. He placed himself right there in the path of these ladies. As these ladies were faithfully doing what the angel told them to do, he just met them personally right there, right in the midst of their fear and their joy, and they're on this mission for God. He met them personally. And I love that, guys, if you can consider that meeting a very personal thing for every one of us daily. You know, as we're busy with our day, busy doing what we're doing, to just like let him be right in the road and like, oh, Jesus, you're interrupting my day. No. It was a personal encounter with the living Lord. And what does it say they did? They fell on their face and they hugged him and they grabbed his feet. It's like, it's you, Jesus. You're really alive. It was a very personal moment. That's for us, guys. Personal moments like that with Jesus Christ. As we're busy to just realize that he is right there in front of us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, there he is right in front of us on the road as we're looking to Jesus Christ. And the reaction of these ladies was just, I love you, worshiping you, falling down at his feet. And then as Jesus spoke to them, they took hold of his feet, verse 10, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, because he knew they were. And what's the theme? Go and tell. Once again, they came and they saw Jesus Christ personally. Go and tell. And this part of going and telling is just telling my brothers to go to Galilee and there they will see me. So this story just keeps getting better and better. But like any movie or anything, there's the part of the bad guys, you know, where the cellos go whoa, and the camera changes over to the bad guys. Well, here's the bad guys, the opposition to the gospel, the opposition to the resurrection, and to this very day, the bad guys are still really active. Verse 11, While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. I want you guys to see two categories here of the opposition of the gospel: the government and the religion. Is that still going on today, by any chance? Government and religion? Yes, it is. So let's go on here. So the government, the guards, ran to the chief priests, the religious leaders, and told them all that had taken place. Verse 12, and when they had assembled with the elders, religion and government getting together here, they had taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers, government, and said, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, the government, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread throughout the Jews to this day. And again, I look at that, what do you mean to this day? Back then? No, it's to this day. Government and religion down on the R word. What's the R word? Resurrection. Down on that. Yeah, you can believe about Jesus. You can have a cross on the roof, or you can have a moon and a star on the roof. You can have whatever you want on the roof, and you can even talk about Jesus as a prophet or a loser or whatever you want to talk about him, or a premonition, he was never a man and he's not God, and blah, 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 blah. Do whatever you can about Jesus Christ, or talk about Jesus Christ as died, buried, and rose. But you know what these religions are? You have to be religious. You have to do this, do this, do this, stop doing this, start doing this, da, 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 and then maybe you'll have eternal life. Does that sound like religion today? This is not like the government today. Our government, as bad as we may think it is, we live in a pretty good nation, guys, for the religion. We really do. We lived in countries, and I'm sure you've heard of countries, where you're literally persecuted just for being a Christian. That alone. Just that alone. And like, I'm also an E-Free pastor, and the E-Free denomination came out of the fact that the churches were regulated by the government, and the churches were not allowed to really talk about grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were talked about how to control the people. So yes, government and religion to this day is still resisting Jesus Christ and him being the risen Savior. And by faith in him, you have eternal life. That's the core of the message. Religion has thrown all this camouflage around it, hasn't it, guys? But the core is, and I know you guys believe this because of dear Aaron and all the other men before him, that it's belief in Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And the tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead. Isn't that right, guys? That's what it's about. And you have friends that don't believe that or believe some of that. You guys get to be witnesses of what you know. You don't have to know all the answers. We just need to know that basic thing that you do understand. So verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, as you know, Judas tapped out here, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Once again, it's the contrast of mankind. Some doubted, some worshiped him. Isn't that true of us as believers too? Sometimes we worship him. Sometimes we doubt him. And there's people who have doubted him to this day. Maybe folks in church today who still haven't believed in Christ. This would be an awesome time to believe that Christ died for your sins, wouldn't it be? So if there's somebody here who doesn't know Christ, this is an awesome moment in your life that God brought you here to say, you know what, you really are a sinner. Sorry, don't want to offend you. But the good news is there's heaven and a life in Christ available to you by simple faith that his death on the cross pays for your sins. Isn't that simple, guys? No camouflage in that. No lettuce on top of the steak. Go right to it. That's what it's about. But some doubted and some worshiped him. The natural reaction. These men had been with Jesus Christ, walking side by side with him for 3 years, and still some of them doubted him. It's true of our lives too. Maybe somebody in here have known about Christ for 3 years, or been going to church here for 3 years, and still haven't believed on him. Or you know people in that exact same category that they're doubting Jesus Christ. I love how Scripture and God's heart is for the broken. It's for us doubters. It's for us who fail. And everybody in the Bible has had their moments of failure and doubt and insignificance and insecurity and fear. Aren't you glad that we're the people that God decides to use? Or am I the only one here who gets scared? I guess so. Okay. I am so thankful that God takes us as we are and chooses to make us conform to the image of His Son and chooses to let us be involved what is dearest to His heart. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life. This is so dear to the heart of God. You are so dear to the heart of God. And yet, we come with issues. We come with failures. But we get fresh starts because of the blood of Christ. Right, guys? Amen. Yes! It's Him in us. Our closing song later, which I'm not quite done yet, is going to be "There is a Redeemer." And He left His Spirit in us. He left His Spirit here until the job is done. That Holy Spirit power, God living in us, to help us with our own walk close to God, to help us to work through our lives, to touch other lives for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, guys. And whatever we else do on earth for existence, our careers, our jobs, whatever they are, that is the opportunity for every single one of us, in the midst of us doubting sometime, in the midst of our failures. That's what God has trusted us with, the gospel, to plant churches, to build up disciple believers all over the world. In verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Last service, I just stopped here and I'm going to do it again. I really want some answers. Why do you think Jesus is prefacing this invitation with "all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me"? Why do you think Jesus said that? What do you think it means? By the way, you can talk back, yell at me. I mean that. That's a real answer. Why do you think He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me"? He has the right to give orders. Thank you. What's some other reasons? Why do you think He said that? Give us courage. You know what? You can't be off all day today.
Yes, I can. To give us courage.
Thank you. Thank you. Rope him back up here in the message. Okay. I got to put my little... Pardon me? Can you say that again?
I'm just saying he did his job that he was born to do, and he was giving them the Holy Spirit for their power furthermore, like us too, and he was going up to sit on the right hand of the Father.
He did his job.
Well pleased, my son.
He did his job. He gave us the Holy Spirit to do what we're supposed to do. And what I love about that whole thought is, it is all authority and all power, isn't it, guys? So the next things off His lips are pretty important, but He's prefacing it in the fact that this is it. I'm God. I don't ask permission from anybody. I want you to know this is very, very important. And all authority and all power in heaven and earth has been given to me, so go. It's really interesting, you know, I study Greek a lot, so I figure out what does the scripture really says. Greek has such a deep meaning for go. Do you want to guess what go means? Go. I don't care how you research it, it means go. That means you got to go somewhere. Go somewhere and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, isn't that what it's about? But we got to go somewhere. It could be across the hall at school or wherever, across the cubicles at work or wherever it is, because we are to bring the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, not hit and run with the gospel and say, "Hey, 5,200 people got saved," you know. And no, it's to make disciples, to plant churches. This is God's plan. Hit and run evangelism is awesome. People get saved. But then where are they a week after they heard the gospel? It's making disciples. It's getting them connected with the body of Christ to grow us up spiritually It's like if a baby's born, it's like, all right, we got a new life here. We'll just leave that baby in bed and leave the baby alone for the next 10 years. He'll grow up. Spiritually, it's to make disciples, guys. And that in itself is an entire study that I just kind of touched on it. But really, we're here to make disciples of all nations. So what does that include? We got all authority and all nations. That's what we're supposed to be going and telling. It's to who? Everybody. That we are witnesses to everybody. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Again, God's promise that He is with us. We feel alone when I go into that jail. And then as I'm just asking God, I'm just overwhelmed with the fact, you know what? I'm following Jesus into these men's lives. I'm not alone. I am never alone. You feel alone. But as you just talk into our Father and say, God, this is your business. Would you go before me? Would it be the power of the Holy Spirit touching lives? It can't be me. And I'm never alone. Isn't that wonderful, guys? Never alone. And so you're sitting there thinking, boy, I'm listening to this idiot ADD preacher. And it's like, what am I going to do? I don't know. Just do something. Go somewhere, do something, okay? I'm watching the clock. I got to get rocking and rolling here. Okay. I have a secret code word. Jeff, PowerPoint. Did it work? Jeff, PowerPoint. There, it worked. Okay. This is from the World Christian Database. I like to bring up these facts of how we're doing. And you can Google any Christian database, Joshua Project, Wycliffe. I mean, you can, any kind of database you want. You're going to come up with roughly these same facts on how we are doing and going and telling all the nations. This represents the missionaries and preachers, ordained people sent out from America. And on the top is 32% Christians, which means any kind of flavor of Christian or pseudo-Christianity, any building with a cross that people would say, oh, they're Christians. 32% roughly of the world. 39% are non-believers, which is meaning they haven't believed in Christ, but they've got access. You know, they can turn on the radio, they can turn on TV, they can walk down the streets. And 29% of the world has no gospel access, period. So if someone was searching, they have nothing to find, nowhere to look. Okay, next slide, please, Jeff. Okay, in the allocation of missionaries, 77% of the American sent missionaries go to Christian people. This thing gets worse. 20% go to non-believing people, and 3% go to where there's no gospel access. And I didn't make these things up because I'm a missionary. Find them yourself. Because they're unbelievable. I look at this and I go, nah, the dad has got to be wrong. So you thinkers, go look it up somewhere else. Okay, that doesn't mean the rest of you aren't thinkers. I mean, if you're a bean counter or something, you want to know exactly what those numbers are. And here's where the money goes. 92.8% go to Christians, 6.8% to non-believers, and 0.4% to no gospel access. These are facts. This is how we're doing to go into all the nations and disciple people and plant churches and bring people to Jesus Christ. But the good news is lots is going on and it's going well. This map, I know you can't see all these people. These are recent graduates from our missionary training who are working all over the world today where there's no gospel access. Isn't that cool? These are real people that I thank God, Connie and I and so many others, and you guys have had a part in their life. Isn't that great? God is working. All these people came through our training recently. I mean, there's way more missionaries from our mission board than this on the field, but these are recent people who came through our training. And I want to thank you, because you guys have prayed for and financially supported Connie and I for, I think, about 33 years now. And these missionaries on the field, I want to thank you. You guys have had a part in that. Isn't it awesome? Let's give you guys a hand. Come on. That's your guys' part. Thank you. Thank you, every single one of you. I wanted to throw this up here because those numbers and stats look bleak. But as Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Isn't it awesome, guys? God is doing this work. And he chose to give us the opportunity to help him do this wonderful job. So these commands, I think of them as commands, which they are. But personally, I think of it as I'm drawing up close to a Father who loves me, who holds me in his arms. And this is what he would like me to do with my life. Isn't that cool, guys? That's different than getting guilt-driven. This is the grace of God. When I think of his love for me, we had baby girls, as many as you know. They're 37 years now. We have twins. But I remember holding those little girls just like this big, and I'm thinking, this girl has no idea how much I love her. No idea at all. And yet, I couldn't love her anymore. My daughter, my child. And I think of that God holding you. I hope that's a place you can feel, that God holds you right here. We have no idea how much God loves us, and yet we're his kids. Isn't that a place of honor? And to be loved by the Father that much, you know? And yes, we can be involved in what he's doing. We have that opportunity. And even if you choose not to, he loves you just as much. I want you to realize it's the love of Christ that constrains us, that compels us. It's his love for us that needs to be the motivator, not some ADD preacher up here going crazy. It's got to be the love of Christ. And I'm just about done. So people in the band, you want to noodle your way up here? Waddle up, however you do that. So I just want to thank God and just close. Father, how much I thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, for overwhelming us with your power and your insight, Father. Jesus Christ, we just can't thank you enough for who you are and what you've done for us, Father. I pray for my family here, that every single brother and sister in this room will just rejoice in what they have and who they are. And Lord, thank you that you've given us the privilege to let us help you. And Lord, when you return, we want to be able to realize that we've done what you've given us to do. And you'll say to us, well done, good and faithful servants. So we thank you, Lord. We're not just servants. We're your kids. And thank you for your love for us. And we get to pray in Jesus' name. Amen.